Thank you for subscribing to InvestTalk. We'll begin in just a moment. KPP Financial Senior Vice President Justin Klein explains why a registered investment advisor firm wants to talk about real estate.
Your home is an important piece of your total financial picture. You need to make sure that when you do retire, you have a plan to maybe relocate, downsize if need be.
Contact Justin directly with a note on investtalk.com. Just select Contact Justin or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now, InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It's January 26th. And InvestTalk is all about information, perspective, and answers to your immediate questions. You can ask your questions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our program is produced live between 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. If you call then, we can have a conversation. We're also here to provide some encouragement for those who want to learn and to commit to learning. So we're open to any money questions. And one of the other ways we can help, and we try to help, is our Saturday morning wealth conferences. We don't have them too often. There are three-hour sessions devoted to a more in-depth presentation and discussion. We're excited about this one. This one we're having coming up here in February. I think it's also timely. I like the fact that I think it's about a month away, a little less than a month away, but it's timely, I think. And its volatility can be an opportunity. And so we're titled Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. But like any other opportunity, you have to be prepared. You have to understand what it is. As Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, February 20th in San Jose. 9 to noon, February 20th, San Jose. And what we'll learn is planning some strategies that, you know, retirees and pre-retirees can use to minimize the negative impact of a volatile market. Or how to take more risk and utilize the volatile market. There are ways you can do both, you know, protect yourself and try to take advantage of it. So we're going to show you how to be defensive and how to be offensive. And how to find the opportunities. Now, these few weeks of 2016 certainly have been record-breaking, as I've told you. It's been one of the worst beginnings, or the worst beginnings of January of any year for stock market. So it's been pretty much an object lesson so far about volatility. Now, will these market movements that have been triggered by oil, stock price expectations, Chinese markets fears, and economy fears, these kinds of volatilities really shouldn't come as a surprise to investors. We just haven't had them that many. But still, today's market is causing some great anxiety. The market is good at that. Did you ever notice that? A recent American College survey of retirement income certified professionals showed that 60% of their clients were concerned about the recent market volatility, and that the recent volatility significantly increased their clients' concern about retirement security. Those findings shouldn't surprise anybody. Of course it's going to worry people. So the question is, what's the lesson here? What do you do? Do you need to create a plan? Do you have a plan? Do you know how to implement it? These are the kinds of things we're going to talk about. So please join us February 20th, San Jose. This Saturday morning wealth conference, 9 to 12. It is a timely one. Sign up by midnight, February 12th. If you sign up by the 12th, you'll get $10 off the $45 ticket price. And you can do that now. You can do it right now on investtalk.com. Now, why do we do that? People ask me, why do you give $10 off? Because we really want to get the number of people showing up to have enough food, beverages, that kind of thing, seating. So if you sign up early, we get a count to how many people will come. Do you have questions about our conference? Or, of course, any money questions you might have might come to mind. 888-99-CHART. Give me a call now.
I had just received a notice in the mail from my 401k did, I can either withdraw it or use it for a rollover fund. And being that right now I have some bad credit in my life and I was have this lump sum of money that I can either pay off my credit or use some of it with one of my public bank, out of Alameda. And I tried to get a secured credit card to try to fix my credit. And I was wondering if this might be a good time to fix my credit and start the ball all over again. I'm only 30 years old.
Well, I don't like taking retirement accounts and using them for things such as paying off debt that you've gotten into or fixing the problems you're in. You know, one of the reasons why I don't like it is because you start doing it and you keep doing it. Now, I want to go back to your employer said it's okay to roll it over to an IRA, but that means if you take it, it's going to go to your, you're going to be adding it to your adjusted gross income for that year, and you'll be penalized because you're only 30 years old. You're going to pay a 10% penalty and pay income tax on that money. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. No, I would not do that. I would not start all over by taking my retirement money and get me, you know, paying all that money out, penalty and taxes, just so I can start over. So the answer would be no. You keep it in a retirement account. Roll it over to an IRA. Keep investing. That is your retirement account. Pretend you cannot ever touch it. That's what I would do. But I'd also fix my credit. I'd take, you know, try to keep working on that to try to clean that up. You really got to do that too. What's the market do in the next 5 to 10 years, do you think? The 5 or 10 years before retirement, how dramatically will the market move up and down? And what should you do about it? Protecting your nest egg in the retirement red zone. No, about 10 years before retirement, but at least 5 years before retirement. That's one of our talking points today. Also, consumer confidence raises much better expected in January. Don't you find that odd with the market being so bad? So we're going to talk about why that is so. Brutal facts on the stock market. I'm going to give you some brutal facts on the stock market so far this year in January. And finally, the Chinese economy is not melting down. So a lot of pieces being written out there that the Chinese economy is going to fall apart, it's got problems. I don't think so. Why do I say that? Well, I got some facts that I'll share with you. But first, what happened in the market today? Well, it was up. Dow was up 282 points. The NASDAQ up 49 and the S&P up 27. So what you have here is you have a market that's trying to bounce off the lows it made four or five trading days ago. That was the low. And that low was right at the August low, right there. So we call that a double bottom. It's actually a triple bottom because it made that in October. It retested the August lows. And now it's retesting again here in January. So that's a triple bottom. So, you know, Justin and I said, expect a bounce. You should expect a bounce because it was oversold. So we get a bounce. This is the bounce. I don't know how bouncy it's going to be. That's the problem with these predictions. This could be it for today. Or it could go all the way back up to the high it made in before January started to fall apart. It wasn't a high, but it was high for this year, most of the last year, close to the high. And it could come all the way back there. Could, or it could be done now. The bounce. Are we going into a new bull market phase? That's really the question you should be asking. And I don't think so. But I could be wrong. No one really knows. So it's a tough question. The market was up today. And I don't know if you could really point to anything that made it go up today. Can you? Sure, they're going to write, the business news people and pundits are going to say and write about things that why the market was up today, but there was no fundamental change in what's going on, so I wouldn't get too excited about this bounce. It's a bounce. What is your risk number? Now you can measure your risk tolerance and see if your portfolio fits that number. Use the Nobel Prize-winning software to measure your risk tolerance. That's the first step, matching your portfolio to your goals and your risk reality. What is it for you? It's free, and you can do it anytime you want. Takes a couple, 3 minutes. Look for it. It's a free risk analysis in the blue box on InvestTalk.com.
Hey guys, I'm calling in to ask you what you guys think about the Vanguard Total Stock ETF. The ticker symbol is VTI. I wanted to put about $4,000 and just, you know, hold it for 18 years or so, you know, and just see if that would be a good choice. Thank you very much. Bye.
And the answer is yes, it would be a good choice if you can leave it alone for 18 years. That's the key, because it will go down. But it will go up. And the market has an upward bias to it. Upward bias about 10% over long periods of time, 10% a year. It always has been since the beginning of the market. But there are long periods of time where it's not up. They're called secular bear markets. But the VTI, Vanguard Total Stock Market Exchange Traded Fund, seeking performance corresponding to the U.S. Total Market Index. So it's a whole market. So this would work great over that length of period of time. Now I ask you, can you just ignore it? That's what you have to do. Ignore it. Don't. You might get in trouble, financial trouble a few years down the road. You might be tempted to take it or move it. That's the problem. You can't do that. If you want it to work, this is called indexing. If you want indexing to work, you have to be willing to ride it through the roughest times. And it will work. But most people can't do that. I've seen it too often. I mean, you know, I'm 63 years old. I've been doing this for 18 bazillion time. And I've seen it way too many times where people get out at the very bottom because they can't take the pain anymore. Dave, Huntington Beach. How you doing, Dave?
Very well. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Very good.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Had a question about RE, Everest Group.
Oh, okay, that's a reinsurance company, a Bermuda-based company offering reinsurance and insurance products to the U.S. and international markets. Reinsurance, that's a company, they kind of insure insurance companies. Reinsurance, mm-hmm. And that's what a reinsurance company does. And many of them are offshore, so that shouldn't scare you. They're a $7.4 billion company. They're one of the bigger ones. They made $24.71 in 2014, $22 per share in 2015, and $18 per share in 2016. So that's why it's selling at a pretty steep discount of only about 7 PE. It's trading for $173 and it's going to make $18 per share. So that's going to be about 8 or 9 PE. But that's why it is so cheap, because it's profits and sales are slowly falling. Now, that will turn around, Dave. That's not going to last forever. That's not.
Mm-hmm.
That pays a 2.7% dividend. It's a very good reinsurance company. Very good cash flow. Hardly any debt. Mutual funds are buyers. I mean, there's a lot of good reasons for it. And this is probably a decent price to pick it up if you want to own this, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like it. I think the only reason why it'll go down is the market overall will take it down, but not because of the company itself. The company's pretty solid. Thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate it.
One quick question. Where would be an out point? I mean, if it starts falling, where would I get out?
You get out on the lows it made in August if you want to have a tight out, and that's right around $167. Appreciate it. Sales of existing homes in the U.S. is at the highest level since 2006. Did you know that? Give me a call. We'll talk about real estate if you want. 888-99-CHART. Protect your nest egg from stock drops in retirement red zone. Retirement red zone. This article that is from USA Today is referring to as if you get closer to retirement, and they're saying between 5 and 10 years from retirement, you don't want to get unlucky and get out of a growth portfolio and now into retirement right after a bear market. And that can happen. In other words, drop your account so much that now you can't retire really. So how do you, you know, that 5 or 10 years as you're getting closer to retirement, how do you, what do you do? Can or should you do anything? And the thinking is here, yeah, you probably should start re-evaluating your risks that you're taking in your portfolio. Maybe you don't want to take as much risk. We have perfect programs for that, to reduce the risk, maybe move to a more of a income-producing account. And that's one of the main things you need to determine. How much income do you need in retirement? How much income does this portfolio, does your portfolio need to produce? Okay, and don't just get out of all risky assets. That's not really the way you should do it. You should start to manage that risk and start reducing the risk. And you have to gauge, well, is it time to get really conservative or stay pretty aggressive? And it's hard to know, give a straight answer to everybody, because it depends on their personal risk tolerance, what the market is doing, how the economy looks. Because what you can do in a portfolio is diversify away from risk. You don't, I mean, you can't diversify away from all risk, but you can diversify away from it. And if you do happen to get unlucky, you can always work longer. Delay retirement. And don't forget inflation, by the way. Inflation will eat into your retirement nest egg. You got to think about all those things. But when you're getting 5 to 10 years out, wherever that is, these are things you start to think about. What should I do? Should I still be in this high-risk growth portfolio? Or should I start to change my risk profile? And that's our talking point today. 888-99-CHARTER is your number, 888-992-4278. Tops on our list of priorities is your calls, as you know. So bring your question to us anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Phil from Oklahoma City. I listen to your program podcast, and I'd like your opinion of GE, General Electric. Thanks.
Well, GE is a perennial blue chip stock. You really can't go wrong with owning it long term, even though it had a big problem in the financial crisis, because more than half their earnings were in financial part of GE. It was a big, you know, financial company. But the other part, now that it's pared itself down, manufactures transportation, energy generation, consumer appliance, industrial, medical equipment, that part was what they are now, is a much better looking company, in my opinion. It's much more focused on those things as opposed to financing. So looking at GE, I kind of like GE. I mean, I know, you know, it's a big industrial company, so there's dangers in buying a big industrial company because it's very cyclical, meaning attached to the economic cycle. Are we expanding or shrinking? Well, worldwide, the economic cycle is not expanding. But here in the U.S. it is, but GE relies a lot on its worldwide operations, and our dollar has been very strong. GE has still done very well despite that. It's going to make $1.50 this year and $1.77 a share next year. Its growth is flat. I mean, there's been no growth in 1 year. But I think that's pretty impressive for what's going on in the world. I think they've done quite well. Pays a 3.2% dividend. So the answer is I like GE. The question is, should we be buying it now? And this is probably a pretty decent price. $28.31. This is a probably decent price. Remember, it's going to make $1.77 next year. So what is that? You know, right around market PE? Decent price. I would much rather pick it up cheaper, but, you know, for that to happen, the market has to go down more and the economic cycle has to turn downward. So I think you just roll the dice here. If you maybe buy half your position and then see if you get another pullback and buy the other half. I probably would do it that way. And this would be a long-term hold. I'm just trying to buy it at a good price. GE, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. As you know, that's our number. And we just announced and put on our website our next Saturday morning wealth conference. It's going to be the 20th of February in San Jose. You can sign up for it right now. You got to sign up a little bit early. You got to sign up early. You'll get a $10 discount. Instead of $45 per person, it's $35 per person. So early means you got to do it a week ahead of the conference, within the next couple weeks. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up next half hour, the discount prescription scam. Have you been approached by this? A prescription scam. Discount, especially at seniors. Everybody tries to attack the seniors. 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number. You can call right now.
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on Invest Talk. Let's look ahead to our next Invest Talk for Wednesday, January 27th. All too often, investors panic at market bottoms and dump stocks at the worst time. A retirement strategy for nervous investors. That's one of our talking points on the schedule. But we're open to your topics too, of course. Our anytime, anywhere number, 888-99-CHART. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. This is Invest Talk for Tuesday, January 26th, made possible each day by KPP Financial. It's a great investment. Spend 3 hours with Steve and Justin on our Saturday morning wealth conference set for Saturday, February 20th in San Jose. Survival and opportunities in a volatile market. Early bird sign-up is now open on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Abijah in San Jose. How you doing, Abijah?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, sure. So I had a question. You know, I was looking for, you know, buying a house, and I was just wondering, you know, whether I should just, you know, wait for a while, or is this a good time to buy since the prices have been rising since past year?
Well, in San Jose, are you thinking about buying in San Jose?
Yeah, I mean, in the Bay Area only, yeah. That's correct. San Jose,
yeah. Yeah, for everybody else who's listening, the San Jose area real estate is super expensive, and I'm sure you found that out. I mean, prices
have
skyrocketed in the last few years, skyrocketed up there. And you'd be amazed.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think people around the country of Egypt would be amazed what $1 million would buy for you there. It wouldn't buy you much. It would not.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
So it's a good question. See, some people around the country are going to say, why would he ask about that? You know, in their area, real estate probably hasn't done the same thing as up in the San Jose. Because of Silicon Valley, everybody, I mean, it's booming up there. And it's a good question. Do you buy now and think it's just going to keep going up, or do you wait? Well, for me, I would have a hard time spending that much money up there right now. I think I'd wait, unless you really need and want a house right away, then just go ahead and bite the bullet. Because I don't think you're going to have a collapse in real estate market up there, because that means you have to have a collapse in Silicon Valley, and I don't see that happening. You know, I just don't see it.
Okay, so you don't years or
Well,
the timeline.
I think that you might get a pullback in the prices, but only if we go into a recession. And I'm not convinced we're going to see one anytime soon. So I think you just flip the coin. I can't say that it's a good time to wait or a good time to go ahead and buy, because I do think mortgage rates probably over time will start to creep up on you. And therefore, you'll be even more expensive to buy a house. Even if the house price the house price goes down, you still, you know, could pay more. Real estate mortgage rates are pretty cheap. That's a tough question. Okay. That's a tough question. I think, I hate spending the money as you're going to talk about, but at the same time, I think it might not be a bad idea to lock in the low mortgage rates. You know?
Oh, okay.
Good luck. Okay. Sorry, I wasn't much help.
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah. San Jose is a tough situation, everybody. I mean, gosh, the prices are so high. They are so high. It's time for InvestTalk Personal, the day-to-day money decisions that can have a lasting impact on your financial health. We've all heard of the adage, it's too good to be true. Well, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Or the other one, the other adage, a sucker is born every minute. Unfortunately, these go hand in hand, and I believe there's truth in both of them. I really do. And yesterday, Justin spoke with you about scams directed to seniors, and that seems to be where everybody points to. And he talked about the Social Security ripoff. Here's another one. Discount prescription scams. And these fraudsters offer senior citizens prescription drugs at 50% off. And the catch is, you have to be a member, and it costs $200. There's a $200 fee to be a member, and you have to do it with a credit card. You see where that's going? They get $200 out of you, and they get your credit card. Now, that's very easy to fall for this scam because they sound very, very good. Now, one way to prevent it is check with the state. Every state has programs for low-income health insurance. They typically have a master list comprised of the reputable discount programs. Okay, so you have to check it out. Just don't buy into it. Check it out with your state. So watch out for the discount prescription scam. And that's InvestTalk Personal. If you have a question on any topic or this topic, let's talk about it. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
If your portfolio holds three stocks in roughly equal proportions, well, there's 33% of value in each of them. If one destructs, it may be a big dent in your nest egg. So how many stocks or funds should you have? That's a question for Steve. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him right now.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia, podcast listener. What's your take on AGCO? And overall, what's your take on the agricultural industry, like John Deere and this one? Looks like the industry is weak. So do you think it's a good time to buy AGCO, or shall I still wait for a further correction? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, AGCO manufactures agricultural tractors, self-propelled sprayers, combines for the agricultural equipment industry. It's a $3.9 billion company out of Duluth, Georgia. It's a very well-run company, very low debt. It makes money, but it made $6 a share in 2013. And in 2016, it's going to make $2.39 a share. Now, a lot of that is built into the price. It's a $46 stock going to make $2.39. To me, it's not cheap enough. Sales are still falling. I think you need to wait. On a chart, it looks like it found a lot of support right around $44. $43.50 to $44. A lot of strong support right there. A lot. And today is at $46.58, up 63 cents. So on a chart, that's where you would want to buy it. $44, $45, and $46.50 is not out of line. And it was, as I said, it was up big today. Maybe it went ex-dividend today, did it? Because one chart says it was up $2.33. Another says it was up 63 cents. That's for the week. So today it was up $2.33, so up pretty nicely today. 63 cents for the week. So I would probably wait. I think insiders have been buying it for the last year. So, I mean, it's a good, solid company. There's no if and buts or what's about that. It's a good, solid company. But it is a little pricey still because the sales and earnings are falling. You know, and you can't wait till they necessarily turn around because once that happens, the stock has already moved. But I think, you know, we're talking about agricultural equipment. and we have a glut and a price depreciation on all that area, all commodities. Until we see that kind of stabilize, the only area I like right now in the commodities is big oil, as you know I've said several times. So I probably wouldn't be a buyer of it, even though it's a very good company, but I definitely would have it on my buy list. Okay? Now, consumer confidence came out today for January is at 98%. And that was from 96.3% last month. That was December. And they expected 96.2%. So it was much better than they expected. And I know it's only 2%, but they expected to fall a little bit, and it didn't. And it's surprising. That's much better than you would think because the stock market has been down so much in January. Remember, this is for January, so they just did this. Now, and the market being down, you know, 9%, you would think that, you know, that confidence. But why is the consumer not worried too much? Because there's lots of jobs. Because gas at the pump is cheap. Prices are cheap. So, you know, even home prices are up. Tomorrow we have the new home sales report come out tomorrow. But, you know, there's not a, for the consumer, that's kind of good news for the consumer. Those of us who have nice jobs, that is, it's not a bad situation. The stock market, yeah, it goes down. Yeah, it's hurt my 401k. But I have other parts of my life, yeah, we're doing well. I think that's what you're looking at. That's why the confidence was up. I don't really like the consumer confidence report that much because it's fickle. It's very fickle. I mean, it could go up and down for no reason fundamentally that would impact the economy for any reason. You can't use it, for instance, to say, oh, the consumer's up, therefore, you know, they'll be spending a lot of money, therefore, stock earnings recovery is going to go up. That doesn't kind of, it doesn't relate that way. It doesn't. So it's not the best of indicators. Whether you have a stock question or want to talk about an investing strategy or just want to know how to roll over your 401k into an IRA, we're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Eric from Hayward, California. I'm a government employee with a TSP plan, the Thrift Savings Plan. And I was just wondering what funds I should be in. I'm a 40-year-old. I have about $250,000. I was wondering what funds should be the best for me. I only have a choice of three funds, C, S, and I. And I was wondering what would be good for me to be stay in international, common stock, or small caps. Can you please answer that? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, the PSP, Thrift Savings Plans, as a government employee here in California, they don't offer you hardly any choices. Very little choices. You know, they have those, as he mentioned, you know, I think they have G is growth, I is international, S is, they have like four or five choices, and that's about it. And if you're 40 years old, if you're in for a long haul, you probably want to have a little bit in the international and the rest in your growth. You don't want to be in the income part of, I think they have one of those funds for income. But man, your choices are so limited, you really can't do much. So you might as well be in growth and a little bit international. And the market will go down, you just keep investing in it. You'll be fine, especially if you're 40 and you got 20 years before you retire. That's probably what you do. You don't have a lot of choices. There's not much way if you can protect yourself except to go into cash. And how do you know when to get back in the market, get out of the market, get back? Timing the market doesn't work. So you really can't do it that way. So you stay with the growth and stay with, you know, maybe 10 to 15% international, and you just bite the bullet and stay with it, and you will do well over time. But it will have times when you feel very ill because it will go down with a bear market. Now, let's get your voice on the program, everybody. For all of your money questions, 888-99-CHART is our number. You'll hear questions about stocks, 401ks, funding for your kids' college, all that kind of stuff, real estate. We'll talk about it all. We're open to any questions about retirement planning. So give us a call. Or you can just give us, you know, you can just share your thoughts about these things too. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. How about some brutal facts on the stock market? Number one, so far, 6 out of 10 large cap sectors have posted year-to-year declines. So 60% of large cap sectors are down. Bear markets defined as 20% fall or more in the major indexes, can happen outside a recession. You don't have to have a recession to have a bear market. It has happened 16 times since the Great Depression, 1939. 16 times we've had a bear market without a recession. Two sectors are up in January, only two. Utilities and telecommunications. The two sectors are the worst. Financials, this is just January, just this month. Financials were the second worst performers, down 10.7%. And then materials, the worst performer, down 11.6%. So those are some brutal facts about the market. I have much more brutal facts that I'm not sharing with you. For 2015, the market was much worse than the major indexes would indicate. There was a lot worse, a lot more blood in the streets. Many stocks are down 20% or more, and they're already in bear market territory. Many, not a majority, I'm not saying that, but so many of them, it's very painful. And only 9 stocks in 2015 really helped greatly the S&P and the NASDAQ. 9 tech stocks. Stocks like Netflix, Google, there's those kind, there was like 9 of them. And that, if you didn't have those 9s, you were in big trouble for 2015. We're down to our last segment, everybody. Last segment of the show, but there's still time for you to ask a question if you are. Give me a comment if you want to. Would you like a short list of ETFs that hold a broad mix of dividend-paying stocks? An ETF list of dividend ETF that's just focused on dividends. I have it. It's free. Just ask me. And if you're an InvestTalk insider, you'll see it on our website. All you have to do is sign up for InvestTalk.com. It's free.
Hi, my question is that I acquired Prudential stock, the ticker is PRU, and I'm just curious what you think of that. I've got like 90 shares. Should I sell it? I'm 45 years old, not a homeowner, and just curious on how you would feel about that in regards to taxes, what I get dinged on, and so forth. Thank you.
Well, as I'm looking at Prudential, PRU, Prudential Financial, it looks really cheap. If you're a deep value investor, this is the kind of stock that has great value at this point. It's fallen sharply from, $87, $90 a share to now $69. But earnings are going to go up 13% this year to $10.37, down 2% next year to $10.12, but it's a $69 stock. So that's cheap. Pays a 4.1% dividend. And it's cheap. Sales have been kind of erratic, but mostly growing, single digits this year. And the stock has been beaten up. I think you hold it. This is one of those stocks you want to hold it at this level because it's really cheap. The 5-year PE average is 6 to 12. As low as 6, the high is 12, and right now it's at 7. At $69 a share, we're going to earn $10. So 7 times 10 is 70. So it's trading at next year's PE of 7, plus last year's PE of 7. It's cheap. Yeah, you want to buy it. You want to hold on. If you own it, you want to hold it. You don't want to sell it while it's cheap. You want to sell it while it's expensive. And that's not expensive at this point. It was a little bit pricier when it was $87, $90. Now it's not. So can it fall more? Sure. If we go into recession, this is going to fall. As a matter of fact, in 2008, the low was $13. 2009, the low was $10 a share. Okay? And they were making $8. They made $2.62 a share in 2008 and $8 in 2009. So it was really cheap back then, cheaper than it is now. But I still think it's fairly inexpensive. I think you hold on to that, hold on to it because of it. That's why. China's economy is not melting down, everybody. Even despite all what you're reading, it's not melting down. China is trying to change its model, right? Moving from just a purely manufacturing company to a more of a consumer-driven economy. So and it seems to be working. The service sector went up 8.3% in 2015, where construction and manufacturing only grew at 6%. And service sector is all focused at the consumer. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying. They have huge problems. They screwed up their financials. They have a lot of debt. They're messing up, you know, even their market. They spent $500 billion last year to try to bolster their market, which was probably a total waste of $500 billion. But then they still have $3.3 trillion left to throw out at any problem they want to. So have they had setbacks, financial setbacks, capital market reform setback? Yes. But is it a crisis? No. No. And so I don't, you know, yeah, I think most of the damage of China's shrinking economy is already built into the price. Everybody knows it already. It's like Apple and its earnings that came on after hours. There's been bad news written about Apple for a month or two or three. So it's kind of already kind of new. When the earnings came out, they beat expectations by a little bit, and they grew their earnings more than they did last year, but the growth rate fell. So Apple still made a ton of money, and it still grew its sales, but just grew less. And it still beat expectations, but not by a lot. But did everybody already know that? Well, we'll know what happens to the stock price tomorrow, right? We'll know. But is Apple cheap? Yes. So, you know, is China falling apart? No. They have problems? Yes. Just the facts. Our time is up. Save the date, Saturday, February 20th in San Jose. That's our next Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. Survival and opportunities in a volatile market. I think it's very apropos. Early bird signups now on investtalk.com. Save $10. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And consider this an invitation to come back tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.